I'm Ben Riga, Platform Advisor on the Windows Azure Platform Evangelism team. And this week at PDC, I've been walking around chatting with some of the partners and customers that are building interesting solutions on the Windows Azure platform. With me right now is Danny Riddell, who's the CEO and founder of Archetype, and also Luigi Rosso, who's the CTO and founder, I guess co-founders, of the organization. So Archetype, what's Archetype do?
Archetype's a rich internet application development and design house, and we do products and services. So we typically do services that are wrapped around Silverlight or Flash front-end with .NET and SQL behind the scenes.
Right. So I think I remember, Danny, you presented at the original Mix conference, right?
That's right.
The original, that cool Silverlight video thing.
That's right.
So we'll get back to that stuff. I know that you have some stuff to show us that's pretty cool.
Yep.
And so you've now been working on Azure for a while.
Yeah. So five, six months ago, we started approaching the Azure platform. We started to look at some of the solutions that we had and starting to see all the trends with all the different video and media-related clients that we had and them wanting to take a system much further and have something that's much more of an end-to-end media solution that goes all the way from media management beginning to end. So that's where we have started to look at Azure for enhancing and giving us scalability within that system.
Right. So you have a data center already, right? I mean, you're already Colo or a cage somewhere that's running. So tell me a little bit about that. How what kind of scale do you get, and why are you looking at Azure?
So we had a couple of projects that we built for clients that are still working and functioning in their hosted on systems like Rackspace. We have a couple of different servers hooked up there. And anytime we have a special event or something that really needs a lot more power, we have to preemptively try to scale up, get the right number of machines, get the right number of eyes and ears checking the systems and making sure everything's right and working. It's very cumbersome and time-consuming and difficult to estimate the right values. So every time we end up generally spending a lot more, getting overkill on resources, things that aren't necessarily needed. One of the great things that we were really looking to Azure for was the ability to be able to calculate those things better and also be able to scale out better, quicker, be more lightweight, and have a much more natural connection to the need that arises from these kind of events.
So large scale, when you need it, it's ready.
Exactly.
So the solution you built, I mean, like I said earlier, you've been working with Silverlight for quite some time.
That's right.
The solution is Silverlight, still Silverlight, but underneath, what exactly does the Archetype solution do? And who are your customers? So what's the target? What is it you're building?
Sure. So we have both enterprise customers and startups, kind of all the way from beginning to end there. And from an enterprise perspective, what they really gain there is an integrated system. So we have a lot of companies that have all of their media dispersed kind of everywhere throughout the system. It's different departments can't see, relate, or even know that there's different content throughout. And we're trying to bring that system into one specific location that still has permissions-based activities, where if it's kind of something that can be spread around the entire company, they do have that capability, which opens up a lot of media throughout a specific company.
So is it content management or asset management for video? Is that sort of a primary goal there?
Video is a very primary because there is so much video out there, but it really can handle any type of media. So it could be audio, video, still
photo,
images.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I think the best thing for this app especially is to actually see it. So why don't we take a couple minutes and have a look?
Sure.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Let me grab the camera.
Okay,
so what exactly am I looking at here?
Okay, so what we're seeing here is what we call the AMP editor, which is the Archetype Media Platform editor. And what it is a free-form video and audio editor that you can actually take, and you have a library here of assets, and you can actually take and free-form drag onto the surface here a video out of the library, basically onto anywhere on the surface you would like, and then you can start to stack each of these. So the idea being similar to a video editor being kind of a left-to-right scenario. In this particular case, it's an actual stack. So as I bring a video close to another video, it gives me an indication that I could snap those two together, and then I can drag each of these videos out and start to create a new compilation of the video pieces. As I get some of the stack beginning, I can actually start to drag over to the right here, and it will tell me that I will also be able to drop them in between the actual system.
Okay.
I can drag the stack anywhere around the screen that I would like, or I can actually scale up and down the actual system so that I could make room for a whole new stack.
Now, this is running in the browser, so this is not a desktop app. This is actually all Silverlight.
That's right. This is Silverlight and then Azure behind the scenes.
We're actually not on an Azure role or web role here, but so it's just CNAMED over to Azure, right? So this is running your own domain?
Right.
No, actually, this one is running on a separate machine. This is a separate service delivering the Silverlight content.
Okay.
And the back end is running on Windows Azure.
Got it. The
right cross-domain permissions set
Got
to
it.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yep. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our system has both an on-premises and in the cloud version. So as we want to build another stack within the system, we can actually use the navigator to start to clear a whole new area. So you can see that I can kind of push that stack that I've already made here and bring out a whole other stack into the system. If I didn't like that, I can drag it over and delete it.
Okay, got it.
And then click over again to bring it into view. And then once we have some of the videos that we'd like in the stack, I can actually freeform drag out into the actual piece an in-point and out-point editor.
Wow, okay.
So I can click on the right-hand side here, drag in. You can see the preview updating on the left-hand side here. I can also drag the in-point on the side. And now I've edited this clip down in a very freeform nature and can click on the right-hand side, and it snaps itself back into place.
You didn't lose those start and end points, though.
That's right.
Got it.
So you can see here that those in and out points are still giving us feedback in the preview. And as I play back here, you can see that.
You can play back right in the preview.
That's
right. That's pretty slick.
And then you also have right here a navigation menu that pops up where you can preview the actual clips. I can break this back apart if I wanted to create another stack. Or, again, I can bring this right back into the same piece. I can also say, okay, I'm ready to preview the actual playback, and here it would act as if it was one video and play back each of the specific edits that I had made. I can also continue editing, and we have a very quick search feedback here. So I could say P for player, and it would very quickly bring in.
Hang on, so where did you type that? Oh, there it is.
In the search here.
Okay.
Yep. So you can see we've typed P.
Sorry, I'm right over your keyboard there.
No problem. Or I can type A, and it would give us very fast feedback as well.
Okay.
So that's a little of the editor system itself. So the editor actually ties into the publishing system.
So the editor is running on your own server. It's Azure you're using for the worker roles in the background. Is that the way I understand it?
That's right. We're using Azure for the storage, for the worker roles, for the queues, and all the system that basically synchronizes this, lets it scale, lets you upload new media and see it, the progress as it gets converted and so on.
Okay, sweet. So how do I publish and encode all of this?
Okay. So you would preview, and when you're in preview mode, you would just say publish.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Publish sends it back to through the system and converts it server-side and puts it into the queue. So what we actually do with the system itself is as you've uploaded original media, we keep that original high-resolution content. And whatever you do, whether it be through the editor or through the playback portal, and any edits and changes you would make, we always reference that original very high-resolution file to keep our quality throughout the system and the reuse of it being very high.
So if we go through that publish, what would happen there? Can we see that publish again? Is it going to ask you what type of publish?
I think this one's actually hardwired to the DFTV portal.
Right. So here we can pull up the portal.
Okay.
Okay.
And so.
So this is the portal running in the cloud here, you can see.
Oh, hang on. Right. Okay. So this is your portal. So I understand. So this, when I publish, it's going to publish to this portal.
That's right. So it would publish the video back to this portal, and then this is an end user portal. So in this particular case, this is a deployment called the Digital Forum, which is for Microsoft partners. And what's nice about our AMP portal is that it is fully reskinnable. So in this particular case, you can see we've completely branded it for Microsoft and the Digital Forum. but it can have all kinds of different brands to it. It can be completely reskinned, being Silverlight. It has a lot of dynamic elements, like we have a full commenting system. We also have Windows Live ID login.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. Okay, that part's not working right now.
Oh, this is the...
Yeah, you should show the digital form TV that's on the... That's an issue with the RPS ID right now. Which is another thing we're talking through on Azure. So yeah, the publishing system, the way that it works is that we basically, it's tailor-built to whatever solution the client needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we change the publishing system based on what they need. Some people have different kind of restrictions and requirements or needs for where it ends up. One of the things that we commonly try to do is have that modified file show up, and it has the reference back to the existing file.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the Media Manager, which we don't have to look at today.
Right.
But one of the things that we do, and that is already running on Azure, the whole media management aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
is that we store all these profiles that are used to create these files. So mm-hmm. actually those files that you saw there, when they were uploaded, a preset profile was used to encode them to a low-res proxy version,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
so that you could edit them in the browser, that you had the right VC1 codec for seeing them in Silverlight and so on.
Right.
And then we have the ability to, what Danny was saying before, that when you hit publish, it grabs the original file, and actually the new published file references back to the sources, so that you can actually go back in the future through the Media Manager and see exactly what file was created from where, and where
they're used and so
where
on.
Where they're used.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
pretty
on.
Slick. So, Danny, you've been furiously. What'd you load here?
Okay, so we're getting into the system. Yeah. So this is.
This is full screen now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So this one is the. This is an on-premise version.
Okay.
And the reason it's on-premise is because we're using RPS Live ID.
Got it.
To do partner validation.
Okay.
Which is something that will be available on Azure. It's not available right now.
Right. Did you click the sign in there?
Yeah, it's just... It's
a oh, I see. Yeah, we're using the Wi-Fi here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, again, you can see that the cloud version and the on-premise version is almost identical in every way.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, you can see down at the bottom here, I have a most viewed videos tab. I can also view latest videos, so I can see the videos of the last 7 days.
I think you just got signed out. Not sure why.
It says I'm logged in.
Logged in as Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The connection.
So I can also view most played videos of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a component that has contests. So if there's a new contest like Windows 7, you can see we had a contest for.
Mm-hmm.
They would be able to, behind the scenes, add new tabs for whatever piece they would like to. And then we also have a nice carousel here. This is part of the things that we are able to add with our Silverlight deployments, where we can actually play back. So you saw the editor... a moment ago, in this particular case, this is a little video walkthrough of, as you're signed in, if you are signed in as a full Microsoft partner, you can actually utilize the Create tool, and we can embed that AMP editor within any portal system that you can. So you can see the frame of this one has the same digital forum exterior, but also has all the video editing capabilities
mm-hmm.
that we showed in our AMP editor.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you signed in as?
Me.
That's all right.
Okay. Yeah. There's also view comments and share. Let me just pause this video for audio purposes. And as we open this up, you can see that we can get some comments here, as well as on the right-hand side, we have a full sharing component. And then you can embed your own player. So there's a custom player that we have that you can embed, or you can send your video kind of back out into whatever system you'd like.
Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, one of the interesting things that we did there which was actually quite a bit of a challenge, was this is a full Silverlight website, and we wanted to have deep linking abilities so that from Facebook, if you post a specific video, you get the right thumbnail showing up, the
mm-hmm.
right information about the video,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of plays into with the whole search engine optimization system that we built around this,
mm-hmm.
Which we actually started working on before Silverlight had announced its internal system. So we're still using this, and our current version still uses this version too.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's worked quite well for us.
Okay, great. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't I put the camera back on the tripod, and we can talk about maybe the architecture behind all of this.
Okay.
And your timeline and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sure, certainly.
So, I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, lots of eye candy there. I had trouble pulling the camera away because it's just pretty slick work that you guys have done from a Silverlight standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Azure part. So how is this architected together? We talked about you're still having your own data center,
mm-hmm.
and yet using Azure for some of the pieces.
That's right.
To work, to send some of the work off to Azure. How do you do that? How is it all architected? How does it come together?
So at the most basic level, for let's say just the video editor, what you need is a set of web services and a couple of worker roles to do the different tasks and activities are needed, and some system to keep those all synchronized and talk together.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, we use SQL Azure for the database metadata. Basically, we don't actually store the videos or any kind of large items in the database right
mm-hmm.
now. We just store metadata. We use blob storage for the video files themselves.
Right.
And one of the nice things that we gain from that is that with Silverlight, we can upload files in chunks. So, for example, you could close your browser, come back to it, and we actually copy the file to isolated storage
mm-hmm.
so that it can automatically resume,
right.
Which is very helpful when you're using very large files.
Okay.
And then we use a web role for the web services,
mm-hmm.
and we have, I believe it's two different worker roles for the encoding. The encoding can be, it can have different ways that it can work. We have one worker role that is just specifically for encoding and one that's specifically for analyzing media.
Mm-hmm.
So the analyzing is generally a little bit faster, doesn't take as much work,
mm-hmm.
and the way that that works is that, for example, if we walk through the upload process, you upload a video file, it's chunks out, takes whatever it needs, and you could actually close down the browser once the upload is complete. That's been what the web service does, is that it's responsible for taking those blobs, putting them into blob storage, and then
mm-hmm.
committing the entire file.
Mm-hmm.
Then it puts it into into the database, actually, and stores all that information, where it came from, the way it finished,
mm-hmm.
The account that created it, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it pushes a couple of messages in the queue, one for analyzing the media, and another one with a set of instructions for the encoder, and it actually uses from the database a couple different So the database stores those actual instructions. It's got different types of things that it can do.
Mm-hmm.
It can reference different profiles for what to do with the audio, what to do with the video, what to do with the images, and so on. Basically, it's almost a lightweight virtual machine that has very light different amounts of settings that it can inform the encoder with what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then one of the different encoder nodes are spinning, and they figure out what time it is, if they have the ability to process some files. And so the very first thing that happens is analyzing. The media is analyzed, and it extracts what kind of codec it is, if it's supported, if it's not supported, if it can grab the codec somewhere else, if it needs to push it to some other encoder, and so on. And then once the analyzing is done, the encoding process is marked in the queue, and an encoder will pick it up. Sometimes it could be even the encoder and the analyzer are built to be very modular in the sense that either one could run as both, or they could be individually running only as one thing. So if there's a light workload, it may actually grab the same file.
Mm-hmm.
It may just continue directly from analyzing into encoding. Encoding generally takes quite a bit. We try to do very high quality to provide you with good proxies. So the very first thing it does is generate a low-res proxy that can be viewed in Silverlight. We currently use VC1, but we definitely do have the ability to, by just changing the profile, to make it H.264, so you could even use
right.
it in Flash and other technologies as
right.
well,
right.
and in the future, possibly mobile.
So what's the timeline like? I mean, obviously, you've been working on this how long? You were on the CTP, or actually on the TAP, I think, right?
Yes, we were part of the TAP.
So how long have you been working on pulling all this together?
On Azure or the
platform?
Yeah,
on the Azure.
From the Azure perspective, we've been working overall on it for about 4 to 5 months, and the actual production of porting the applications that we already had on-premise was quite short, I would say, couple weeks to month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were very lucky, I think, in that we used .NET for the majority of the backend. Way back many years ago, portions of this were actually built in PHP, which is really cool that now you can actually run PHP on the cloud as well. But we migrated from PHP. We liked the robustness with using .NET, with using Visual Studio. We're inseparable now from the debugger. It's one
right.
of the coolest tools
right.
ever. And what we ended up doing was actually taking a lot of the web services that we already had and that we deployed on some of the on-premise solutions, and
mm-hmm.
we simply recompiled them. We had some DLLs that had the right handlers and so on, and
mm-hmm.
we literally just changed the configuration file to use the right handler, and our web services were ready to go, basically. So a very simple version of the portal took less than a week to get running.
Wow, pretty sweet. So now you have a system that's available. You can run it on-premises or in the cloud.
That's right.
And so depending on what your customers, whether mm-hmm. it's an enterprise customer that wants to run it internally, or maybe a smaller customer that wants to run a startup, maybe that might want to run
sure.
it in the cloud.
Right.
You're ready to go wherever they want to go.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that really helps like the startup environment is they can be, they can deploy very minimal at the beginning and explode overnight as some of the startups do,
right.
and they just don't have to have any consideration of the behind the scenes at all.
Right.
It ramps right up, it extends however they need it, nothing has to break or be extended or
right.
us to go in and spend extra time on it, and that's a big advantage.
Right. So what are the next steps? Are you guys ready to ship, or have you shipped? Are you live?
We have shipped in some of the pieces. There's four overall components.
Right.
Two of them have been shipped and are deployed in some environments, and
okay.
then the other two are coming in the next couple of months.
So even though we're not commercially available, you guys are.
That's
so
right.
You're feeling comfortable enough that so Azure's ready for you already.
It's very solid.
Okay. Absolutely.
Awesome. So you're just getting free hosting right now, right? Free
for a much more minimal time.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That's all good.
That's
excellent.
Right.
So next steps. Where do you go from here?
So next, we're taking different pieces. For us, we're a products and services company,
mm-hmm.
so applying a lot of what we've learned and engaged with the TAP program, taking that into our services-based work is a big component for us. A lot of our customers are asking for Azure tie-ins,
right.
As well as finding other products and services that can help other developers get their platforms onto Azure.
Sweet.
Sync, for example.
So for other developers that may be just getting started with Azure,
mm-hmm.
any suggestions? Lessons learned?
I think at the start, one of the most challenging things for us when working with the worker roles and the different DLLs,
mm-hmm.
and especially running a 32-bit environment on yours, if you're running a 32-bit environment, there's some trickery there. 32-bit DLLs will actually work locally, but obviously they won't on the cloud.
Right.
There's lots of those little things. Logging was very, very helpful. It saved us a ton of time to log as much as you can and make sure you go through those. And we actually built a few little tools that would let us read those log files in Silverlight and
mm-hmm.
be able to show them and resort them and do some helpful things like
mm-hmm.
that.
So diagnostics, debugging, that sort of thing.
Right, but that kind of stuff was,
yeah.
was definitely challenging at the start, and it was a little different than what we were used to from what we have with .NET and remote debugging and so on. But it's definitely doable, and it's worthwhile, and it saved us a ton of time to be able to check those logs.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this stuff, showing us this cool system, and thanks for using Azure.
Yeah, it's been
thank
great.
You.
Thank you. And thank you for watching.